man tried to enter heaven, for a door could not be found. Heaven's walls were great and high, all inside were safe and sound. But God, who so loved mankind, whom he had made and given breath, knew that to redeem them the price to pay was death. The search was made to find someone could take this dreadful chore. 'Cause only one, God's only Son, could be heaven's only door. The angels knew once he was gone, a song would not be sung. But a door to heaven is of no use unless on earth it's hung. A door was hung at Calvary, it's standing open wide. Eternal life is waiting for all who step inside. And what has become earth's greatest gain was heaven's greatest loss. Heaven's door was hung at Calvary, and it hinges on the cross. He entered this world through a virgin's womb, and felt our pain and strife. To the door of death he soon would go, our great ransom paid for life. Once inside, the door was sealed. Satan thought he'd won the war. But it's no secret how death was conquered. The key was in the door. A door was hung at Calvary, it's standing open wide. Eternal life is waiting for all who step inside. And what has become earth's greatest gain was heaven's greatest loss. Heaven's door was hung at Calvary, and it hinges on the cross. And it hinges on the cross.
Well, I would think everything hinges on the cross in reality. I would like to welcome everyone back that heard in the last hour that Dennis Corll is going to sing. I wasn't planning on being here if that was going to happen myself, to be honest with you. It was a blessing to hear Brother Brown this morning. He's a couple months older than me. And I was so glad to hear the testimony that he could run from one end of this platform to the other. So that gave me a lot of help to know that I'm a little bit younger. I might be able to make that same long marathon run from one end of this platform to the other. Brother Corll has been a good friend of mine for a long, long time. And I think he's an apologist. He has the answer. And I don't know how long we've been friends, probably at least 30 years or more, because I've been in Cincinnati 32 years, and we were friends before I moved down there. But we've had a couple of arguments, serious arguments. I was right. But I didn't win the argument. He whipped me bad, and I was right. You want to argue with Denny Coral, you're a better man than I am. I'll tell you that right now. He is a blessing to me, and that's a blessing to be in this church in these days. I'm glad to be in the pulpit. I haven't done a lot of preaching in the last 2 or 3 months. I'm on serial cancellation, like most evangelists are in these days. It's been interesting. So Brother Angel called me about coming over here. I said, I'll be there. I'm coming. I don't care if I get arrested. I've been preaching at my wife. She's been preaching at me. Neither one of us have been converted this whole time. I tell you, it has really, really been a mess. But I want you to look, if you would, to Acts chapter 27. Brother Coral, he's mentioned this chapter and this story in both sermons that he's preached last night and this morning. I wouldn't have cared if he'd have preached out of it, because whatever I'd say had nothing to do with what he'd say, because his would be spiritual and have a lot of verses. Mine doesn't have any of that stuff in it. It's just the way it is. I didn't even have a title for this message until last night when he said, we're in a perfect storm. So that's the title of my message, The Perfect Storm. I thought about, I grew up in Michigan. They got probably one of the dumbest governors in the history of the world over there. That woman said, you could go fishing in a kayak or a canoe, but not in a boat with a motor on it. What kind of a moron would go fishing in a kayak? If you caught something, you'd have no place to put it. And a canoe. Now, I have kayaked in my life. I wasn't very successful, but my wife and I went kayaking one time together. It was quite a fiasco, to be honest with you. I've been canoeing a lot of times in Michigan, up on the Osaba River and other places, beautiful places like that. My father and his wife, my mother died when she was just 45 years old in 1975. And about 8 or 9 years later, he married another lady. She's a preacher's wife. And they've been married longer than my mother and dad were married. But they hadn't been married very long. I don't know if my dad, he was, I guess, probably 55 years old probably when they got married or so. And I don't know if he's showing off or not, and I hope he's not listening. But they went canoeing on the Osaba River. He's dressed exactly like I am right now, in a suit, tie, white shirt, had his hat on, and wingtip shoes. She was in a modest dress down to her ankles. And those two old people got in a canoe at the canoe livery. I can imagine what those folks were saying about those two. They canoed from about here to the back of this building and made a little turn, tipped that canoe over. My dad's hat went on its own little trip on way on down the river. The Osaba right there is very fast. They couldn't get out. They finally somehow clambered back into that thing and had to go for about 2 or 3 more hours down there to get picked up. You imagine what they must have looked like. A man in a suit and tie. A lady in a dress and her purse. God in heaven, what a mess that was. That was a perfect storm, I would just tell you. I was in a boat a couple months ago on the Sea of Galilee. I've been in boats. I know a little bit about being on the sea. My wife and I have traveled from Maine to Nova Scotia in a ship one time. We spent the night on the ship. It was a wonderful, wonderful night. The bed was about as wide as that part of that pulpit right there. Just a wonderful evening of rest. Goodness gracious. I've been in the North Sea going from Northern Ireland to Scotland and back. I've done that. I've been in the Mediterranean, gone from over near Corinth, and we took a boat, and I went over to some island, beautiful island, preached there for 2 days to a bunch of missionaries, had a good time. I've been in some real messes on the sea. I used to go fishing with my father-in-law. I preached his funeral, or sat at his funeral. I think my dad preached it, but I had a little part. I said, Pop and I, we sunk 2 boats fishing. And they went and we put him in the ground over at the cemetery and came back. My Sandy's sister, little sister, her husband and I, we were in a little place at the same time over at the church. And he said to me, you know, they really talked about you in the family car going over there. I said, really? He said, you're a liar. I said, what did they say I lied about? He said, you sunk the boat with Pop 2 times. I said, you know, I was a liar. I thought about it. We sunk 3 boats together. And he was, I would never let my boys go with him because, I mean, they'd be goners. I remember when I was a little boy, I'll preach here in a minute, but, you know, if you've ever been in northern Michigan, now they have a bridge that goes to the Upper Peninsula. When I was a little boy, they didn't have that. They had a ferry boat, and you'd drive your car on there. And I didn't drive a car when I was a little boy, but my dad would drive a car on there, and we'd go back and forth the straits, called the Straits of Mackinac up there. And I remember one time, I was probably 6, 7, 8 years of age, something like that. I think it was 8 or 9 when the bridge was finally completed. But we went. It was terrible coming back. I mean, the waves were high. It was absolutely ridiculous. And I remember my dad... my little brother Johnny was there. My little brother Steve was there. And my dad took his belt off and set me down on the floor and tied me to a chair, a seat that was affixed to the floor. Now, he didn't tie my little brothers. I didn't think he cared if they went overboard, to be honest with you. But he wanted to save his firstborn. He knew he could make more kids. He had 3 more after that. So it was not a big deal if he would have lost one of them boys, frankly. But I want to talk to you a little bit about, we better get in the Bible here. I hope none of my family's listening to this either. Look at verse 13, Acts chapter 27 and verse number 13. The Bible said, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near unto some country. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we are some country. that I feel like has lost its way. And this morning is awash in wickedness. The ways of the ungodly, this ungodly living, it seems to have washed up on the shores of the church. And we think that God is concerned about us, and I think you are. But I don't think you're concerned about who or what we are. But you are more concerned about who is, who you are, and how you can change us. Our churches have been empty. Perhaps because church has been about everybody and everything but you. For a long, long time. And I pray somehow that our minds and our hearts would be directed back to you. I have no problem preaching to a small crowd. I spend my time, the bulk of my time, in churches about the size of the congregation this morning. It's not about how many. It's about you. And I pray, God, you've showed up in these other messages that I've heard last night by our two brothers and two this morning. And I pray, O God of heaven, that you'd show up in these few minutes this morning, for Jesus' sake and for our sake. Amen. There's a little phrase that caught my attention there in verse number 27 about midnight. So what I'm going to talk to you about in these few minutes is all stuff that happened after midnight. Because a lot of stuff happened at midnight. In Exodus chapter 12, that's when the death angel struck the firstborn in all of Egypt. They did not have the blood applied to the lintel and the sides of the doorway. In Acts chapter 16, in verse number 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas, they were singing. Probably one of them sang about like Dennis Corll sings. The other one sang probably about as bad as I. You know, they've never asked either one of us to sing for that matter. It's awful. Shameful, really. Paul and Silas, they prayed and everything that happened. I mean, after midnight. After midnight, the church at Philippi got started. By a whole family getting saved and baptized. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7. I think this is Brother Coral's life verse. Paul preached till midnight. Kept right on preaching till the morning, and a poor guy fell out of the window and died. If that ever happened when Brother Coral was preaching, I don't know if he could bring the guy back to life or not. A lot of stuff, unusual stuff, happens after midnight. Brother Brown's talking about being asleep. That's the best sleep of his life. You know, when you get awakened in the middle of the night, you're unprepared. You're ill-prepared. You're unaware. You don't know what's going on. You can't get things together. I have that problem in the middle of the day when I'm awake now. About midnight. Now, I want you to notice, I have no outline if you're looking for one. If you get one, please give it to me, preachers, after church. It's a violent storm. The Bible says here in verse 27, they were driven up and down
in Adria, in that waters of violent waters. You know, up and down, that is a descriptive term of the average Christian today. They're living up and down, in and out, back and forth kind of life. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20 says this, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." They get things backwards. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about perilous times. And you get down to that fifth verse, a lot of it had to do with they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You can look godly, you can dress right, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. We need the power of God in our lives and in our ministry and in what we do for Jesus Christ. 14 days. 14 days they spent rolling and rocking in the sea. They didn't even really know where they were. There's a little phrase in there. Said they deemed. They deemed they were near the shore. Now, these were the shipmen, those sailors. They knew a little bit about the height of the waves and the depth of the water. And they could hear the sound of the shore. They kind of knew what was going on. Verse number 28, they found it 20 fathoms. A fathom is about 6 feet. So it was 120 foot deep there. And they went a little bit further, and it was 15 fathoms, so it was 90 feet deep. They knew they were getting close to shore. Now, I've been fishing now. I remember going fishing one time. I think it was in Louisiana. And the guy had a depth finder. I had never seen a depth finder in my life. And you could look at a little screen there. You could see how deep the water was. You could see where the fish were. As one, they didn't have that in those days. They had a rope, had a knot tied on it every 6 feet or so. And that's how they could tell the depth. They had to drop that line. They had to figure out where they were. They recognized they were getting close to the shore. This is a little bit ahead of my message. But I want to tell you, this morning I feel like we are getting a little bit closer to the shore, thank God. I'm looking for the shore. Not going to bother me. Brother Coral said if he got that disease, that they got all kinds of names for this thing. Coronavirus, COVID-19. If you get it, friend, and you're a child of God, you're going to have to go to heaven when you die. That's all there is to it. Now, these guys, they got kind of serious about the ship's safety. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12 said saints are going to have problems. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you are going to suffer some persecution. Now, these folk here, they got fearful. When folk get fearful, child of God, we need to get cheerful. There's no sense getting upset about it. Paul said, I believe God. He said, be of good cheer in verse number 25. Don't abandon the ship. I like this little thought. I never saw this. A preacher told me about this the other day, talking to me on the telephone. Maybe 6 months ago, he was talking about this story. And I tried to argue with him until I opened my Bible and saw that he was right. It says there in verse 30, the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. And when they had let down the boat, and this preacher is trying to get it across to me, I think that's a lifeboat. The sailors were going to get in the lifeboat and get safe to shore and let the rest of the folks on the boat, you're in trouble. You're in serious trouble. But Paul said in verse number 31, said to the centurion, and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. I'm going to tell you something, child of God. The preachers mentioned it, Brother Coral. We need to stay in the ship. You notice it wasn't the sailors that cut the boat off. It was the soldiers. The soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. It wasn't the seamen. It wasn't those kind of people, no. And they should have known better. They should have stayed with the ship. But I thank God for some Christian soldiers that'll help us to stay with the ship. Abandon ship. This isn't time to do that. You know, that lifeboat, that boat there, that kind of reminds me, you know, my own ideas of how to do things. And it's been preached, and I like it, and I agree with it 100%. You think you can make it without going to church? You know, you go to the live stream Baptist church. I tell you, that guy, you know what's going to happen a lot? This is what I believe about it. Pastors, those folk in your church, you're the only guy they listen to. They might get on that live stream and hear somebody's a better preacher than you or softer than you, and they're going to go over there to that place, especially if it's in town. Now, if it's a long ways away, they're not going to come to your house when you're sick. They're not going to take care of you when you're at the hospital. They're not going to bury you. They're not going to pray for you. They don't care. They're kind of like Brother Coral, just trying to raise some money. He ain't going to help you. By the way, I'll give you $100. I'll do it right now. I get myself in so many. I should have never. That's not even in my notes. I didn't even know he was trying to get any money. Yes, but you're not getting it. A transmission. A $5,200 for a transmission? I didn't know that thing was worth $5,200 that you're driving. I'd sell it and get a brand new car. Hey, it's better that you cut your ties than to sink in that boat. Hey, trust God. Stay in the ship. A lot of folk are cutting the ropes of righteousness. Paul said, except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Stay in the ship. I thought about this too. Verse number 39. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rock, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Just drop your anchor in the house of God, in the work of God. And wish for the day of deliverance. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 44. In an hour that you think not, Son of Man's coming. And I don't know if we've ever lived in a less thinking age than we do today. Nobody does much thinking. You know, my wife's here. She knows I'm telling the truth most of the time. I used to know 100 telephone numbers. I used to know Dennis Coral's phone number. I used to know a lot of preachers' phone numbers, everybody in the church's phone numbers. I used easily 100. I had them memorized. I mean, I didn't try to memorize them. They just, numbers just stuck in my head, and I'd call them. Now I've got all those numbers on my cell phone. Half the time, I can't even find my cell phone. I spend more time looking for my cell phone. I could have looked it up in a phone book. Some of you don't even know what a phone book is anymore. Now, that was in my notes. I thought that's funny, and only one laughing's Denny. Soldiers cut those ropes and dropped their anchor. I like everything the Apostle Paul said. But I really like what he said over here in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I thought about that. You know, there's a lot of things that I'm not ashamed of besides the gospel. I'm not ashamed this morning for the fact that I believe with all of my heart that the King James Bible is the Word of God. I'm not backing up. I'm not changing my mind. I'm 2 months younger than Brother Brown, but I believe that Bible is the Word of God. And if a young man can get it settled in his heart that the Bible is the Bible, is the Word of God, you can make it through some tough stuff. I believe that old King James Bible. I'm not ashamed of the fact I believe in a song service you ought to sing out of a hymn book. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I believe in old time Bible standards. I preached with a man last summer. I would say everybody in the room know him. Very popular preacher. And he was preaching away. Matter of fact, he run all over that platform. Brother Brown, not just one lap. He must have made 100 laps while he was preaching on that platform. And it was a little bit bigger than this one. And I remember he got way over here on this side of the platform. And he said, you know, a lot of people say I don't have any convictions. He said, I don't think you ought to smoke. And that was it. One conviction? You know, I know preachers, their only conviction is I'm not going to have any convictions. God help us. This young bunch of, a lot of folks, you need to go over and all I'm going to say about it, and you're going to get mad if you go look at it. Wait till I'm done. You need to go over there in Ezekiel chapter 5 and verse number 1 and use that instrument there that's talked about in Ezekiel chapter 5 and verse number 1. Now, don't look now. You'll be upset. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I believe in Holy Ghost preaching. I went to school with Dr. Malone. I went to Dr. Malone's school a long time ago. Graduated in 1972. I'd already graduated from college. I went to Dr. Malone's and graduated. And I remember Dr. Malone, he'd say this. This is his statement. He said, we need that anointing. That's what he'd talk. He said, I don't know what it is, but I know what it ain't. And I don't think anybody could describe what it is, but you know what it ain't. God help us. I'm not ashamed that I'm a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of salvation by grace. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I believe in sanctification by faith. Listen, when it comes to believing, the next step is behaving. If God hadn't changed you, God hasn't saved you. That's all there is to it. I got a whole lot more stuff there. I don't know where in the world it is. In these notes, what in the world did I do with those? Where did that go? Oh, there it is. I just got to lay out different kind of mess. This is the first time I ever preached a sermon now. You didn't want me to pull out an old dead one, did you? If this one doesn't go, it's going to go in the dead file too. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not ashamed of the brethren. Except for some of them. That are wavering. That are wanton, that have gone AWOL. I'm not ashamed of the church. Brother Coral said it a little bit ago that Christ died for the church. I believe that. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the faith of our fathers. Hey, our forefathers in fundamentalism, we're not fools. We got a group of people today, they call themselves preachers, and I've given the benefit of the doubt, but they don't even want to be called a fundamentalist anymore. They got some other moniker they want to add to their name. They talk about these old fellas being out of touch with the times. Yes, but thank God they were in touch with God Almighty. I want to be followers of those who live by faith and serve God. I'm not ashamed of the cross. at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden, and thank God, the burden of my sin rolled away. I love America. I'm not ashamed of America. I love this country. I want it to be the biggest and the best. I thank God we had a man that stepped onto the scene politically that wanted to make America great again. He was doing a fine job until this foolishness showed up. And he's still doing a fine job, by the way. I'd hate to have that woman in charge at this juncture in life. But hey, you talk about being in a mess. I believe in old-fashioned shouting and praising God. I believe every once in a while you need to have a Baptist spell. I told you I went to Bible college. Some of you probably didn't even believe that, did you? But I remember they used to have in November, I don't know why, maybe it was Dr. Malone's birthday, some significant thing, they called it Founders Day. And it was probably November of 1970, maybe November of 1971. I don't remember which it was, but way back there. My goodness, nearly 50 years ago. And he had the two speakers that day. It was Dr. B.R. Lakin and Dr. Bob Jones, Jr. And those are the two men that spoke in a morning service. And I mean, tell you, it got on. Now, the school was at its height. It had the most students ever had in those days, back way back then. And there were three or four of us. We liked to shout and say hallelujah. And lift our hands up and say, glory to God. I had just gotten saved in 1970. I was the black sheep of the Green family. And I didn't want anything to do with it. I just turned my back on it and got in college and got wild. I met that woman back there and I got worse. And it's bad. I thank God he saved me. And I got so saved, I like to rejoice. I'd praise God. I'd sit in about the second or third row, about where those gentlemen are sitting right there. And I'd get to shouting and praising God. Maybe Dr. Malone wasn't preaching that day. And when he wasn't preaching, he'd sit over there and he'd look at me and he kind of had a strange smile on his face like, that kid must be out of his mind. He must be stupid. He must, oh, well, put him in the nut house or something. There's three or four. We got to shouting that day. We got praising God. I mean, it got on, at least us three or four guys. We had a ball that day shouting the victory. And they had given Dr. Malone, think about this, Brother Coral. They had given him that day a gift. They gave him a brand new 30-06. Well, I wanted to go. I went. I made a beeline right up to Dr. Malone. I said, could I see this gun? He handed it to me. This is one of the great regrets of my life. He called me Timmy. There's nobody alive anymore that calls me Timmy. And I'm very grateful for that, frankly. But he called me Timmy. He said, Timmy, would you like to have that gun? And stupidly, I said no. I mean, all I'd had to do is say yes. And he said, come to the office, I'll give it to you later. But I said no. Dumb. I haven't got over it. You can tell that in 50 years. But I happened to be standing there, you know, holding the gun, and B.R. Lakin and Bob Jones, Jr., they were standing there, and they were talking. They were both probably in their 70s. And no, I don't know. They were old men then. They might have been in their 50s then. I don't know. But they were old, seeming like 20-something-year-old kid. And I think it was Dr. Jones. He said this. I'll never forget it. It has been right in that brain all these years. And Dr. Bob Jones, Jr., he said, Lakin, he said, what do you think about this verbal praise of God? And Dr. Lakin said, I like it. You know, that really encouraged me. I don't know if he was just kidding. I don't know if he was rubbing Bob Jones, Jr. the wrong way. But I'm going to tell you something. I like it. I'm not ashamed that every once in a while God shows up and I happen to be there and I get to praising God, shouting the victory. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of old-fashioned shouting. I'm not ashamed of doing a solid work for God. I'm not ashamed of the missionaries on the foreign fields. I'm not ashamed of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I'm not ashamed for the fact that there's a home in heaven for the child of God in a house not made with hands. I talked about my mom a moment ago. She left this world just a 45-year-old girl. Left behind that fragile tent of human existence. Today she's robed, she's dressed, she's attired, and however it is in heaven, I mean, in one of these days, that old body that's laid out in that cemetery is somehow going to come up out of that grave, and she'll come meet it in the air, and they'll be reunited, it'll be glorified, and live in a mansion forevermore. I'm not ashamed of the fact I'm going to miss the tribulation period. You know, there's a lot of crazy people that they think we're in the tribulation period. I've read in the Bible about the tribulation period. There's a lot of strange beasts. And I've been to the airport. And I've seen some. Brother Coral, I was going to give you this. My next door neighbor gave me this the other day. It's a pink face mask. I wanted you to have that too because your favorite color.
Thank you.
I thought about that. That has nothing to do with the message either. You see, I mean, we live in a strange day. I'm looking for that city wherein righteousness dwells. You know, for people, I think even these people in this ship, I think they forgot it. And I think people forget stuff today. He said there in verse number 22, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. But of the ship, no loss of life. Forget about the doubters and the deniers and the correctors and the debaters and those that want to bring all kinds of defugility into the work of God. Paul said, I have prayed about it. There in verse number 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. They prayed. He cheered them up. What time is it? Oh, my goodness. I got to quit here in a minute. He cheered them up in verse 36. Said, it's time to eat, time for lunch. That's about what it is, time for lunch, isn't it? Amen. Well, that worked out pretty good in this this non-outline sermon. Verses 36-38, they did a little tidying up, and they lightened the ship. They cast out the wheat into the sea. And verse number 39 said they're close to shore now. They discovered it was day. They knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with the shore. I don't know about you. I've never heard of the river of life called a certain creek before. But I'm looking for a certain creek. I'm looking for the river of life. And that's where we're going. We need to stay with the ship. Stay with the captain. Keep the man of God. Keep the things of God preeminent in our sight. Those two seas. They said where two seas met. Now that's interesting. There's contrasting modes of doing things. I'm staying with the old paths. You can go to some conference. You can learn how to, you know, people talk. I gave a preacher the other day, he came across 8 million cassette tapes. Now, some of you don't even know what those are. And he got to tell him about all the old, he got sermons that I preached in 1970s down at Sammy Allen's camp meeting. That's where he got all these things. And brother, I don't think I was supposed to say that. He didn't want anybody to know that Brother Allen had given all them to him. So you just erase that out or let it go. It's too late now, my brother. And so I sent him a bunch of old stuff that I had around the house. I'm going to tell you something. I know what I was going to say. He said, I can't remember what it was. There's a chip. Is it called a chip? He could put all this stuff. What do you call that thing, Sandra? A USB.
what is that, United States Bank? I don't know what that, a USB. He said, preacher, I can put 1,000 sermons on this little USB. And I'm going to get it on there and I'm going to send it to you. I said, what am I going to do with it after you send it to me? I don't know what to do with a USB. Now, if he's going to send me a brand new car, I'd know what to do with that. I'm staying with the old paths. You will always have, or there always will be, a Calvary if you're going to have an empty tomb. There must be a death before there becomes a resurrection. Some of these people, I love this, and I'll be done. I like this. They cast themselves into the sea in the 43rd verse. And the rest, some folks could swim. You know, some folks can make it. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. Now, some of you real Bible scholars, you're going to say, yes, but where they got, there were snakes. And there was superstition. And there was sickness. And there was sorrow. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Where we're going, there ain't none of that. We're going to make it safe to shore. I think it was my wife and I. My wife went with me one time. I was preaching in England and Ireland. She went with me. And we came home. We were probably married 24 years at the time. That was 26 years ago. She always wanted to go to Australia for her 25th wedding anniversary. So I was planning it. You know, I was going to use frequent flyer miles for, you know, get there and, you know, do whatever and go to Australia. So I'm planning it. And one day I said, well, we can do this and we can do that. And she said, Tim. She said, is Australia farther away than England? She's geographically challenged, just as I'll admit that, for her. I said, honey, it's a 14, 15-hour flight from L.A. to Australia. I said, it's a long way. She said, I don't want to go there. I said, why? She said, I can't stand flying over that water like that bothering me. I said, honey, what difference does it make if the plane crashed and we drowned in the water or smashed into the ground? What difference is it going to make? She said, I just don't want to go. I said, okay, we won't go. I said, we're going to go to Bermuda. Now, we went to Bermuda. I didn't wear any, and I don't have any to this day. Thank you very much. But we went to Bermuda, and that's only a couple hours from Boston is where we flew out of, I remember. We were down there, and we stayed in a nice place, and I didn't know where any churches were. There's a little Methodist church. And we went that Sunday morning to church, and we walked in there, and they sang the same songs we sang out of the hymn book. This is the only time in my entire life that I've gone to church where they had a woman preacher. I just about walked out, but I'm so glad I didn't. That beautiful black woman, probably 75 years of age, she got up there. She was probably the head deaconess or something. And their pastor had just left them, resigned in the little church, maybe 25, 30 people. And she talked from this portion of Scripture with tears flowing down those ebony cheeks. She said, now, folks, what we're going to have to do with English accent, just beautiful, listen to her talk. She said, some of us, we're just going to have to grab a board or a little scrap of something, and we're going to have to stay afloat until Jesus gives us a new pastor or takes us home to be with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, Christian, in these days, just grab a little piece of boat, just grab a little bit of that Bible, just grab a hold of that pastor that you have, and God help us to stay true to the end of this situation. I edit the Baptist Bread Daily Devotional. And I wrote a story, I think it'll come out in September, October. I called it The Pandemic of Pride. And that's one of the problems. You know, that was the initial sin in Sodom, was pride. And I think in our movement sometimes, and I think in our lives sometimes, that pride goes before fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Pride's a terrible thing. There's nothing about you or me that should have an ounce of pride in us. We are sinners saved by the wondrous grace of God. He dwells within us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Stay with the ship. Cut the boat line. Get rid of the lifeboat. Get rid of that junk. And stay focused on Him. Father, we thank You for a few minutes. Just talking about a story that everybody's familiar with. And I suppose if we had a crowd of people here today, we might have had somebody crazy as I was when I was a kid, and even every once in a while now, they'd been up shouting about something, been rejoicing about something. That'd have been fun. That'd have been good. But it's far better if somehow a sentence, a thought, would take someone's mind to a better place in their Christian life than they've ever been. I pray You'd help us today. We thank You for Your goodness, for Your grace. I'm so delighted to be here. Lord, it's just it's crazy. It was so nice to go to a hotel. It's so nice to lay in bed and read my Bible this morning. I don't do that at home. Don't do it that way, but I do in hotels. It's so nice to listen to preaching in a building, to sit in a pew. Just to sit in a pew. And I pray, God, You'd help us in these days, somehow bring this plague to its knees. And in the course, bring us to our knees. And help us, oh God. It'd be great in a week or two, or even this Sunday, we could have a revival. Brother Coral calls his ministry revival fires. It'd be great if maybe a little fire started tonight, today, tomorrow, next week, in the lives of Your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Let's stand together, heads are bowed. I wonder what little piece of board you heard this morning that you can reach out and grab hold to. Brother Coral's message on the church, the assembly. Brother Brown's message on being awake spiritually. This message on stay in the ship. Grab a board. Hang on. Thank God they all made it safely to shore. Glory. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the privilege to just have these services. I thank you, Lord, for the preaching of your word. I don't know all that you're doing. I don't know all your plan and purpose. But I know I want to come out of this better than when I went in. I want to come out of it different. A lasting difference. Where I read this morning over there in Psalms, we're talking about people flattering you with their words, but their lives never changed. And how upset that made you. May we be done with flattery. May be something of substance that changes in us. It purifies the church. Makes it stronger. Makes us more faithful. Help us to grab a board in this situation. And just hang on. And God, when it's all settled, we're safely back in our pews, which shouldn't be long now. I pray we'll be different. Pray you'd help us. Thank you for the messages today. Thank you for the men who found your message for these hours and faithfully delivered them so that we could be helped this morning. My heart's been blessed, challenged, encouraged, in some cases rebuked, and I needed every bit of it. And I thank you for it. Bless the time of food over in the lunchroom for these out-of-town guests. Lord, bring us back tonight with a full heart, but yet hungry one more time for your servant to preach for us tonight. We'll thank you in Jesus' name, and amen.